The U.S. Supreme Court hears arguments today in a case that could affect millions of Americans whose health care coverage is provided by an HMO. The issue is whether states can require HMOs to submit to a binding independent review when an insurer rejects the treatment recommendation of a patient's primary care physician. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
The poster patient in the case to be argued today is Deborah Moran, an Illinois speech therapist whose health care was covered by her husband's HMO policy with Rush Prudential. In 1995, Moran began experiencing pain and loss of function in her wrist and arm. Initially, she was diagnosed as having carpal tunnel syndrome, and when physical therapy and medication didn't work, she underwent surgery. But as soon as she began using her arm again, the pain returned with a vengeance. And this time, the medical diagnosis was different. Brachial plexopathy, a compression of the shoulder and arm nerves. Again, conservative treatment didn't work, and Moran, in researching her ailment, found a specialist in Virginia, Dr. Julia Terzis. She went to see Terzis for an evaluation, paying for it herself. The verdict was yet a different diagnosis, and the solution, a complicated surgery. Returning to Chicago, Moran consulted with her primary care physician at Rush Prudential, Dr. Arthur Lamar. He arranged for more consultations by other in-network doctors. But according to Mrs. Moran, none was a specialist comparable to Dr. Terzis. While the in-network doctors did not dispute Dr. Terzis's new diagnosis, they recommended different procedures, which they conceded had low odds for success. Eventually, the director of physician services at Centra, the doctor's group affiliated with Rush, concluded that Dr. Terzis's approach would be best, and Moran's primary physician agreed.
By November of 1997, he gave me the referral to go and have the surgery through Dr. Terzis. Out of network, he was saying that was the best thing that was for me. This is medically necessary. We've been down all the other paths. Let's go. Rush Prudential called me the next day and said, nope, you can't go. We're not authorizing it.
And so Deborah Moran hired herself a lawyer and went to court, citing state law. Illinois, like 37 other states, has an independent review law. It requires an independent outside peer review whenever there's a dispute between an insurer and a primary care physician over what course of treatment is medically necessary. Rush Prudential, however, refused to submit to such an outside review. As the litigation dragged on, Moran and her husband decided to go ahead with the surgery in Virginia and pay the $95,000 themselves.
We took a loan against my husband's 401k. My mother-in-law gave us a lot of the money towards it. She maxed out her credit cards. We maxed out our credit cards. And we went. And my husband just, you know, he said, I can't stand to see you like this. I couldn't lift a fork to feed myself without being in pain by that point. But that was the least of our concern at that point. And I had been told by doctors that, you know, who knows how much longer your nerves are going to hang on, that I could have just one day decided to move my arm and it might have, you know, made the nerve snap and then I'd really be paralyzed.
The result of the operation, she says, is, quote, perfect. She has the full use of her arm without pain. She also did eventually win a state court order for an independent review. The review, conducted by a specialist at Johns Hopkins University, agreed that the operation done by Dr. Terzis was both medically necessary and the recommended course of action. But Rush Prudential stuck firmly to its refusal to reimburse the Morans, and the Morans stuck firmly to their suit for reimbursement.
The fight stopped being about me a long time ago. It's important because the patients and the doctors need to make the decisions, not the HMO. I mean, my Dr. Lamar was hired by Rush Prudential, and he was an in-network primary care physician, and why is it that they didn't trust his opinion?
The answer, say her lawyers, is simply money. That initially the reason Rush gave for refusing the operation was that it would have to be out of network, since no doctors in the Chicago area did the procedure. Only later, say Moran's lawyers, did Rush maintain that the operation was not medically necessary, a conclusion that was squarely rejected by the independent review. The company contends that the Illinois law requiring an independent review is invalid because it is preempted by the federal law that governs most employee benefit programs, the law known by the acronym ERISA. Arguing that point, the company has appealed all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, which will hear arguments in the case today. Rush Prudential asserts that Congress, in enacting ERISA, was trying to encourage employers to provide health care plans. The carrot, a single system of federal regulation. In short, Rush Prudential argues that to encourage employers to adopt health care insurance plans, Congress, in effect, gave those plans a kind of immunity from state laws. Thus, Rush Prudential, backed by the insurance industry, contends that the Illinois Independent Review Law, like other similar laws, is invalid. John Roberts, representing Rush Prudential, will tell the Supreme Court today that Deborah Moran's health plan gives her only one appeal, to the internal Rush Appeals Board, which in fact turned her down.
If the plan says this internal appeal review board is presumed to be correct, she shouldn't be able to go and say, I know that's what we agreed to in the plan. I know that's what my benefits are, but I want something else.
The only right the employee has under ERISA, Roberts contends, is the right to go to federal court to enforce the plan as agreed to with the employer. And the state is forbidden to jump into the act.
The state can't come along and say, well, we're going to add all these other terms to the plan, and then say, well, now we're just enforcing the plan. That's not the plan. That's state law, and that's preempted.
Not so, say Mrs. Moran's lawyers, backed by the Bush administration, the American Medical Association, and the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, among others. They contend that the federal law specifically allows state regulation of the insurance industry, and that requiring an independent review is exactly the kind of regulation Congress meant to permit because it does not mandate a certain level of benefits. Mrs. Moran says it would make no sense to bar states from requiring independent reviews when an insurance company refuses to pay for a procedure recommended by its own primary care physician. She says that would leave patients with a lengthy lawsuit as their only enforcement mechanism.
It says right in my policy, will abide by state and federal laws. I had to fight for a year just to get the independent review. If somebody actually needed that surgery, life or death, right now, and they filed and asked for an independent review, that's a crock that it could take them a year. Most people wouldn't live through it.
But Rush Prudential's Mr. Roberts counters that Congress knew exactly what it was doing. It gave insurers a federal protective shield from state laws so that companies will know in advance what the cost of health care will be. To allow state laws like Illinois' independent review law to stay on the books, he contends, means that employers and HMOs are in effect signing a blank check.
If you're subject to that type of open-ended regulation, many employers are going to make the decision it's not worth it and not provide health care benefits, and Congress thought that was not a good result.
By the end of today's argument, the issue will be in the hands of the Supreme Court. But for the insurance industry, there is likely no good outcome to this case. After a period of relative stability, health care costs are once again spiraling upwards, and employers are increasing pressure to limit costs. At the same time, though, patients don't want to give the bottom line the final say over their health care. And an HMO victory in court would likely increase pressure for a patient's Bill of Rights, guaranteeing for everyone precisely the kind of independent review requirement at issue in this case. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.